Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Samach Dalet. We begin on Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, 7 lines down from the top, with the following statement that was made by Rav Tuvi Bar Kis in the name of Shmuel. Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kis no Amar Shmuel. Kosvin Igeris Merit al Arusa. However, the end Kosvin Igeris Merit al Shomeris Yovam. We do allow a basin to write an Igeris Merit. That's a statement, a document proclaiming that this woman, right now we're assuming that this is a Geris Merit, that the woman is Moredes against her husband, so we allow the basin to go write a Moredes Igeris about a woman who is an Arusa, that she's refusing to go into the second stage of marriage with her husband. However, we do not write such an Igeris Merit on a Shomeris Yavim, a woman in Ebuch, her husband passed away, they died childless, husband had no children, and she falls to her Yavim as a Shomeris Yavim. And we don't write a Igeris Merit that such a woman is refusing to have Yibam with her husband. Okay, with the Yavim. Now, more questions, since it's Mesir, wait a second. You're telling me that this is what Shmuel's opinion is? We just learned yesterday in the Brisa, which now we quote again, Achasli, it makes no difference, the halacha is the same across the board, for an Arusa or an Asua, whether the woman is refusing to be with her husband, whether she's only an Arusa and is refusing to get married, or she's an Asua and she's refusing to have relations with her husband. And this is true, Afilu Nida, even if she's a Nida and she's refusing to have relations, Afilu Chola, even if she's a sick woman, Afilu Shomeris Yavim, and even a Shomeris Yavim. So we don't seem to make any distinction in this Brisa between a woman who's an Arusa and a woman who's a Shomeris Yavim. So why does Shmuel, who's an Amora, why does he make such a distinction if the Brisa doesn't make such a distinction? So the Gemara says, lo kasha, that's not a problem, because the two cases are talking about two different things. Here in the Brisa, we're referring to kan shetova hu. We're saying that the man is going to the basin and saying, this woman refuses to undergo yibum with me. So he is the one that's bringing it to basin, and therefore the Brisa says, basin will write the Geris Merit for such a person. But Shmuel's statement was going on kan shetova hi. That's when the woman comes to the basin and says, listen, my Yavim doesn't want to take me in Yibam. So I want you to have him be the one that's morayed against me and make him add to my ksuba the amounts that's added until he goes and takes me in Yibam. So in that situation, we don't do that. We don't write in the Geris Merit when she's the one that's demanding that he take her in Yibam, but we would write in the Geris Merit if he's demanding to take her in Yibam and she refuses. So we make a distinction between these two cases, between whether he's the one that's demanding the Geris Merit, when we do write it, as the Brisa says, but as Shmuel pointed out, when she's the one that's asking for the Geris Merit, on him, so then we don't write such an Igeris Merit. And the obvious question is, why not? So the Gemara says, the Amar Rav Techlipa Bar Avimi Amar Shmuel, because Rav Techlipa Bar Avimi said in the name of Shmuel, that Tavahu, when he's going to ask for the Igeris Merit, the Yavam is not willing to go and get married with him to do Yibam, so Niskokinlo, so the Beis Din listens to him, and the Beis Din will go and write the Igeris Merit, and she'll lose from her Ksuba each week until she goes and does Yibam with him, or until she loses her Ksuba, like we learned in the Mishnah, or they'll make a proclamation every four Shabbosim, the four Shabbosim in a row, until she loses her entire Ksuba. And she'll lose it that way, like we learned in the Brice yesterday. However, Tava he, but Shmuel says, when she's the one that's asking for it, Ein is Kokolo, Beis Din will not go and write it. As Rashi says, Beis Din will not write Lichtovasi Geris Merit, Lahosiv Al Ksuba. So they won't keep on adding on to her Ksuba because the husband is not willing to go take her in Yibam. The brother-in-law is not willing to take her in Yibam. And in a moment, the Gemara will explain, as Rashi points out, the reason is because she's not Mifkido Apiri Viriv, because she has no mitzvah to go and have children, whereas the man does have a mitzvah to children. Again, this is one of those great paradoxes that the women have such a great maternal instinct, but nevertheless, they're not Muchuyevis to have children, whereas the man is obligated to have children, Apiri Viriv. So the Gemara says, "B'mayu kim to law the shul." So now, let's go back, before we get to reconcile exactly what Rashi just said in the Gemara a moment ago, the Gemara is going to have in a moment that we explain why there's a difference between whether he's asking or she's asking for the Igeris Merit by Yavam. So the Gemara says, we've now explained Amar Rav Tuvi Bar Kis and Amar Shmuel as talking about Mayu Kimta, how we explain that, Lod Shmuel, the statement, Bishutavahi, that when she's asking for it, Ein Kosin Igeris Merit, Al Shomeris Yavam. So we don't write in that situation. So the Gemara says, the language is wrong then. It said, the Ein Kosin Igeris Merit, Al Shomeris Yavam. It should have said in that situation, if she's the one, Bishutavahi, Hakosin Igeris Merit Al Arusa. Instead of saying that the first part with kosin igeres merit ala rusev, you're saying that that's the situation in the seifa by the shoras yovim. It must be also in the reisha that she is the one that's asking for it. So then the language is wrong. It shouldn't have said kosin igeres merit ala rusa. It should have said le arusa mi boile. It should have said for the arusa. To the arusa, we would write the igeres merit, and not about the arusa, like the loshen is. So, Rav Tuvi Bar Kisa's Omer Shmuel statement doesn't seem to make sense if you're talking about the tovahi, the safest tovahi by the ein kosher igeres merit hashmeres yavam. So the ratio also has to be shetovahi, and the language is wrong. She wants to say halukasha, so to the arusa. This is an amori statement, so just amend it. It's not a problem. So what Rav Tuvi Bar Kisa said in the name of Shmuel was kosher igeres merit le arusa, no problem. But the Gemara still has the basic question over here: why should there be a distinction between the two cases? Maishna shomeres yavam delo. Why, if she's asking for it for a yibam, do we not do it? Because the reasoning must be damrino lo. We say to her, listen, zeal, go away, lo mifkadet. You're not muchuyevis in pruvu. So if he doesn't want to go and do yibam with you, so go on with your life. So Gemara says the same thing then should apply to an arus, arusa nami. We should say to her, listen, your husband doesn't want to take you in the second stage of marriage, so go on with your life. Name Allah, we should say to her, zeal lo mifkadata, go away because you're not muchievis in pruvu. So in both situations, we shouldn't write the igeris merit against the husband, whether the husband is the yovam or whether the husband is just not willing to go into the second stage of marriage with her. In each situation, we should have the same exact rationale that we would tell her, you're not muchievis in period of arivya. And therefore, go away. We don't write any geres merit for you. So Gemara says, obviously that can't be the answer. Elo bibor mach mastaina. So in both situations, and that's the problem, then why is it then different in both situations? It must be talking about the amrina that she says, the omra, her taina is, bi'ina chutra, I need a stick, liyoda, for my hand when I get older. In other words, I need a son to support me when I get older. And that's why I want to have children. And that's a valid taina. Umorali kvura. I need somebody to go take a shovel and go and dig my grave for me. So in other words, she's saying, I want children because I want to have people that will take care of me in my older age. And therefore, that's a valid taina. And that's why we write an igeres merit for an arusa. So Gemara says, then the same thing. So then the same thing should apply in the sefer of the statement attributed to Shmuel that, in fact, she should have a valid taina, and that we should go and write an igeres merit against the yavam if he doesn't want to do yibam with her. Just like you're saying, we do it to her husband who doesn't want to take her into the second stage of marriage because she says, "Beina chutra liyado mor likvura." I need children because I want somebody to take care of me in my old age. That's a valid taina, so it works for a yavam just like it does for the husband. So again, we have a problem. Why did Shmuel make a distinction between the two cases, the arusa and the shomeres yavam? So Shmuel says, "You're 100% right. Let's throw away the answer that we just gave. Both of them are talking about, not like we want to say a difference between Tova Hu, Tova He. No. Both of the two cases that Shmuel's talking about is that the husband and the Yavam are the ones that are demanding the Igeris merit. So why did one case by the husband, he's given the Igeris merit if she doesn't go into the Nisuin with him, whereas the Yavam is not given the Igeris merit if she doesn't do Yibam with him? Well, Lokash, that's not a Tzdira, because Kan Lachlots, the Kan Liyabim. The two cases are talking about different things. In the statement of Shmuel, so he is asking over there for them to do chalitza. So therefore, in the situation where he's demanding that she do chalitza, so he has the right to go and demand that she do chalitza. So therefore, they'll write an igeris merit for him. That was the braisa, achas arusa, achas nesua, achas shomeres yavam. If he's demanding that she do chalitza and she doesn't come forward, yes, they'll write an igeris merit. However, in the situation in Shmuel's statement where he's talking about Kan Liyabim, so we don't force the girl to undergo Yibim with him. The Amar Rabbi Pidas, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tova Lachlots Niskokilo, Tova Liyabim Im Niskokilo, because we make a distinction between him demanding that she do Chalitza with him, that Beis Din will stand up and say, yes, we're writing an Igeris merit if she's not willing to do Chalitza with you. And we don't make such a Igeris merit if he comes to the Beis Din and says, she doesn't want to go into Yibim with me, she doesn't want to have Yibim with me, that they don't force her to do so. So again, the Gemara says, why? Why should we make a distinction between the husband and the yavam? Maishno liyabim delo. Why did Shmuel hold that we don't make any igeres merit for the yavam when she refuses to do yibam with him? Because the amrinan le, we say to him, listen, zil, go, you go. Unisiv, it's sachrite. So she doesn't want to have yibam with you. So go marry another girl. That's not a problem. You're allowed to have, you're allowed to get married even though she's zakuka to you. You're still allowed to get married. So if she doesn't want to get married to you, she doesn't want to go yim with you, this one day. So go on with your life and go marry somebody else. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, so lach lo tznami. So why don't we say the same thing by chalitza? Name olay, we should say to the man, zil, go, unesiv, itso, achrite, go marry somebody else. Why will they write him an egeris married for chalitza, but they won't write him an egeris married for her not wanting to do yibum with him? Shouldn't the same answer apply to both? Go away and go get married to somebody else and leave her alone. So she'll be sekuka liyavim, no matter what. What difference does it make to you? So Gemara says, elot, must be you right. The Omar, kivun da agido bi, since the man says, since she's attached to me, still, nobody's going to want to marry me. Lo ko yavu li achrite. Every time I go to offer a proposal to a girl to get married to me, she's going to say, listen, I'm willing to get married to you, but all of a sudden, then you're going to go do yibum with this other lady. There's going to be a co-wife. I don't want to have a co-wife. I'm not interested. Get rid of her, and then I'll go and marry you. So he's saying, you have to write me an egeris married when she's not willing to do chalitza, because in this situation, she is going to prevent me from getting married to somebody else, because people don't want to marry me if I have this connection still to her. So the Gemara says, that's what we're talking about. Kivan dagida bi lo koyavu liachrite. But the Gemara says, but the same thing, hachonami, the same thing applies when he's wanting to do yibum with her and she refuses to do yibum. Why can't he say, kivan dagida bi, you're telling me to go on with my life and go marry to somebody else, but since she's attached to me, kivan dagida bi here as well, lo koyavu liachrite. Nobody's going to want to marry you because they'll say, all of a sudden, I'm going to have a co-wife. You're going to do yibum with her and I'm going to have a co-wife and I don't want that. So, therefore, why do we make a distinction? Again, Shmuel had said that we write the Igeris merit for the Chalitza, but we don't write the Igeris merit for her not wanting to do Yibam. Doesn't seem to make sense. Now, all the Mefarshim point out that there's a big difference between forcing somebody to do Chalitza and forcing somebody to get married. After all, if she doesn't want to marry you, then do Chalitza. So the Mefarshim explained that he doesn't want to undergo Chalitza. He's being spat at in public, and he's not happy with that. And therefore, he says, no, I want to do Yibam. And one could also possibly argue that Yibam is the preferable mitzvah. Certainly in the earlier days of the Gemara, as we'll explain later on in the Gemara, so he says, I want to do the mitzvah properly. I don't want to do chalitza, which is not doing the mitzvah in the most proper fashion. In any event, we can't make such a distinction here between Yibam and chalitza, because the bottom line is, kivan dagidabi lo koyavu liachrite. People aren't going to want to marry me, so I can't go on with my life. So just like you have to write an egeris merit if she won't do chalitz with me, you should also write an egeris merit if she won't do yibum with me. And the Gemara is left with this original question, why should there be such a distinction? So the Gemara answers, Elo, edi v'edi shetovel yabim. In both situations, both in the statement that Shmuel made, where we don't write an egeris merit for a yavam, and the Braisa, where it says that we do write an egeris merit for a yavam, so both of them are talking about where he was asking for Yibam, and she's refusing to do Yibam. But Lokasha, how come there's a steer between what Shmuel said, no, we don't write an egeris merit, and the Braisa, which says that we do, that's not a problem. Lokasha. It all depends when they're written. Kan b'mishnah rishona, the Braisa is going upon the original opinion that Yibam trumps Chalitza, that there's a mitzvah to do Yibam, and only if you can't do the mitzvah of Yibam, then we allow a p'tur called Chalitza. But that's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is to do Yibam. As opposed to Kan b'mishnah achrona, later on, we learned that nowadays people have sunk in their spirituality and in their morality, and they're doing Yibam not for the purposes of Yokum Shem B'Yochiv, but they're doing it because she's pretty, she's rich, she's going to be a companion to him. For whatever the reason, the marriage is the reason that they're doing it and not for the mitzvah. And therefore, there is an opinion that says that's almost like znus if you're not doing it for the proper mitzvah, even though that's not the real din. But the Mishnah Achrona came along and changed around and said, instead of originally we prefer Yibam over Chalitza, now the opinion is that we prefer Chalitza over Yibam. And that explains Shmuel's statement, how it contradicts the Braisa, because the Braisa is going when we say that Yibam trumps Chalitza. And Shmuel is going like the later Mishnah, which says that Yibam is not the preferred way, Chalitza is the preferred way. And where do we see this? That's not. We learned this in the Mishnah in Bechoros, where it tells us, Mitzvahs Yibum Kodemis L'mitzvahs Chalitza. We had this as well many times in Masechta Yevamos, that the mitzvah Yibum originally was felt to take precedence over doing Chalitza. However, that's because Barishona Shemiskavim Shemitzvah, that was because they had the purest intentions. They were doing this L'shem Shemayim. They're doing the mitzvah of Yibam, not for any personal benefit, that she's pretty, that she's a nice woman, she'll be a nice wife, she's rich, whatever the reason might be. They were doing it L'shem Mitzvah Yibam. So Barishona Shemiskavim Shemitzvah, they preferred that we do Yibam Kodemis L'chalitza. However, Achshav, nowadays, the morality, the spirituality of the people are sunken. Shame is kavlu shul mitzvah. They're not doing it l'shem the pure mitzvah of Yibam. Yeah, they may even have that in mind, but they're doing it because of the other reasons, the physical or financial benefits that they're getting, or the companionship benefits that they're getting. So therefore, achshav shame is kavlu shul mitzvah. So the rabbi said, amru mitzvah chalitza kodem is l'mitzvah Yibam. Then it's better to do chalitza rather than doing Yibam. So that's the reconciliation between Shmuel saying, we don't write any geres merit for the husband who says that the wife won't do Yibam with him, because we say, we want you to do Chalitza. Don't do Yibam. So we're not going to write any Geres Merit that she's not doing Yibam to you. Go do Chalitza with her. And in the time of the Braisa, when the preferable way to do it was Yibam rather than Chalitza, so then they would write any Geres Merit for the Yavam. Okay. Now we quote the Mishnah where it said, Ad Masayu Poches Uchule. We said that the woman who was Morad, this our Mishnah held that we deduct, according to the Tanakhama, 7 dinarim every week. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was half that, which was that we deducted 7 tarapokin each week. And if the man was the one that was rebelling, so we gave the woman 3 extra dinarim each week to her ksuba, if the man was Morad. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, we only gave half of that, 3 tarapokin. Okay, so the Gemara starts off and tells us my tarpokin. We already explained what this is. We said it's half, but the Gemara is asking right now, what is this coinage known as tarpokin? So Rav Sheshes says this is an astira. And how much is an astira? That doesn't help us much. We don't know what an astira is either. So a kama astira. So Gemara says palga de zuza. It's half of a zuz. A dinar and a zuz are the same thing. So therefore, this is half the amount. So the Rav Yehuda says that we deduct from a ksuba half as much as the Tanakama says. And that when we add to a ksuba, we add half as much as the Tanakama. So Tanakama says it's a full zuz each week. And Rav Yehuda says it's a half zuz each week that we deduct from Aksuba. And similarly, when we add on to Aksuba, if he's Morad, so we add on 3 Zuzim, 3 Dinarim, according to the Tanakhama, and only 3 Trapokin, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Gemara says, Tani Nami Hoch, we have a Braisa in support of what Rosh Hashanah just said, and that is Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Shlosha Tarpokin, Shehein Teshamon. These Shlosha Tarpokin is the equivalent, if you switch it to a coinage known as Mayan, so it would be 9 Mayan. Each Tarpok is the equivalent of 3 ma. And that translates out to this 9 ma'in is a ma of a chetzil choyom, the 6 days of the week. We'll see why not 7 days of the week that we pay her for her husband not fulfilling his obligations. He's married against her, so we give her 1.5 ma each day. 6 times 1.5 is 9. So therefore, the Braisa supports that this amount of trapokin is a certain amount of ma, which we know is a certain amount of zuzim or dinar. Where it says, how come we distinguish over here between the man who we pay for Shabbos and the woman that we don't pay for Shabbos, so to say? So I'm Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef Lishmo. Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef asked Lishmo, Maishna Iyu, why is it by the man that we give him 7 tarpokin for each day that the woman, each week that the woman doesn't agree to have relations with him? So in this situation, we punish the wife by deducting from Aksuba 7 tarpokin. In other words, 1 tarpok per day. So Maishna Iyu by the man, Diyohivin laid the Shabbos. So we deduct for Shabbos when the wife is Moredis. So Shabbos is included in this deduction. Whereas for the girl, for the wife, Maishna Iyu by her, the Lo Yavin Lo the Shabbos. She only gets 6 days of the week, 1.5 more, a total of 3 tarpokin for the entire week that he's rebelling against her, but we don't give her for Shabbos. Whereas the man, we do deduct for him from the ksuba on Shabbos. So Shmuel explains very nicely. He says, Ehi, in regards to the woman that she is just losing from her ksuba, so then it doesn't look lo merci kishar Shabbos. It doesn't look like she's getting paid for Shabbos because it's a deduction. It doesn't look like the husband is getting paid for Shabbos, so to say. So in this situation, what happens? The woman, her ksuba is going down. So it can go down a little bit more for Shabbos. It doesn't look like there's a schar Shabbos involved over here. But Ehu, if the man has to add on to her ksuba, so it's as if then she's getting paid
for Shabbos. It looks like Ihu, when the man has to add on to a kusuva, the osifle kol mosfa, it looks like, and we turn to Samach Dalet Amud Beis, it looks like Mechsi Kischar Shabbos. So that's why we don't add on to her kusuba for the day of Shabbos, whereas we do deduct from her kusuba for the day of Shabbos. Tosus points out, well, why don't we just say it's Havlah? Why don't we just say that this is a weekly amount? And therefore, just like a person can get paid, let's say, to lean on Shabbos. How can you get paid for leaning on Shabbos? A person is not allowed to take Schar Shabbos. So the answer is, you're paying him for the preparations that he did all week long. He's spending an hour a day learning the leaning. So that's what you're paying him for. He's also being paid to lean on Shabbos. That's called Havlah. It's all one big lump sum. So the lump sum includes weekday work and work on Shabbos. That's not called Schar Shabbos. So why don't we say the same thing over here, that this seven that we deduct from Iksuba, or the three that we add to Iksuba, is Havlah. So Tosos explains, very interesting, he says, Yishlom on top, Tosos on the third line, Da'acha asum yishum delo havi kamo Havlah, it's not Havlah. Dein mosifin l'chol Shabbos yachad, we don't give her this sum for a week, let's say he's married for only 3 days, so then we give her an extra 1.5 more each day, so she'll get 4.5, 3 times 1.5, she'll get 4.5. And then when he stops the rebellion, so then we stop adding on. So after 6 days, so she gets the 3 trapokin, she gets the 9 ma after the 6 days. If you were then to go and stop being moreid, she'd get that amount. Now if you go and say she's moreid, he's moreid to her on Shabbos too, so you have to add on another 1.5. That looks like Schar Shabbos. And therefore you prorate it. You don't say it's per week. No, it's per day. It's not per week. We phrased it in the payment per week to make it easier, but it's actually a payment per day, and therefore there's no Havlah. Okay, very interesting. Anyway, the Gemara concludes and says, Amalei Reb Chiya Bar Yosef L'Shmuel. Reb Chiya Bar Yosef said to Shmuel, Ma Bein Moreid L'Moredes. How come there's a difference in the amount of money? That's another basic question. Why, by the man, do we deduct when he doesn't have the consorting with his wife, when she's refusing him, so then it's a weekly penalty of 7 zuz or 7 tarpokin, whereas when he's moreid against her and won't consort with his wife and it's his blame, so to say, then she's only entitled to either 3 dinarim or 3 tarpokin. Why is the man's lack of having relations with the wife when it's the wife's fault paid at a higher rate than the woman is paid when the lack of relations is the husband's fault? Very basic question. So Gemara gives a very simple teretz. Amalei Shmuel says to Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, he says, Say ulamad mishuk shel zonos. Go and see what is the typical habits out there. Who goes and hires who? You almost never have a den of iniquity that men there are being paid to have relations with women. Whereas you have the den of iniquity, you have the harlots that the men are paying for their services, right? A prostitute, the man pays for the prostitute. You do have such a concept of male prostitutes. That's very, very, very unusual. So therefore, he says, look at the way of the world. Who, so to say, wants to have relations more? It's the man that usually wants to have relations more than the woman. So therefore, the taking away of those relations when the woman is more redness to the man is more of a difficulty for the man than it is when the man is more red to the woman and takes away the relations from the woman. Even though we say that the owner is the husband's responsibility to the wife, nevertheless, the husband certainly wants to do that responsibility. And the bottom line is, go look at the way of the world. Who pays who for the relations? So the pain and suffering that the man has is greater than the pain and the suffering that the woman has. And therefore, the man's payment, the deduction from the ksuba, when she's moredis, is a higher amount than the tosefis that's added onto her ksuba when he's the one that's more. Very, very basic, simple understanding of human relations. Dover Acher, alternatively, very nice physical explanation is Ze Yitzro mi bachutz, Vizu Yitzro mi bifnim. As Rashi points out, the man, it's visible from the outside. In other words, Ki Shuyuv Nikar Umisgane. When the man wants to have relations and he can, so his body has physical changes, it can be visible from the outside. In other words, he has kishri, he has a hardness to him, he has an erection, and it's recognizable, and it's embarrassing when he's not able to fulfill that desire. Whereas a woman's desires are internal. There is no physical characteristic that you can see from the outside of the body as to the woman's desire. And therefore, the man suffers more embarrassment when he doesn't have the relations, and therefore there's a higher penalty than for the woman. Okay, two good answers to a very, very good question. Okay. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Hamashresh Ishto Aidishlish. For whatever the reason, a husband is not living with his wife. He's on a business trip. They have an unusual relationship. And he has to support her, and he's not supporting her directly. They're not eating at the same table. So he goes and has a third party provide all the needs for his wife, from her food needs to financial needs. So a mashresh ishtoi deishlish. If a man has a third party that is going to take care of all the financial needs of his wife, he's paying for it, obviously, and the third party is the one that goes and actually provides it to her. He's often on a business trip in Europe, and his wife lives in New York, so he arranges to have a guardian. Women didn't take care of these things themselves. They didn't have a bank account in those days, so therefore, he has to arrange for a third party to go and pay her grocery bills and to go and provide her with food and other things that she needs. So he's not allowed to give her lo yivchos lo mishnei kabin chitin o me arba kabin sorin. He's not allowed to go and give her less than a certain amount of grain, whether it's wheat or barley. There's more flour that can come from wheat. That's why he has to give her less wheat. He only has to give her two kabin. Kabin's a certain measure. He only has to give her two kabin of wheat. If he's going to give her barley, then he has to give her four kabin of barley, because it makes less flour and less bread as a result. So he has to supply it with a certain amount of wheat or barley. Tosus Rid brings down, this can be found in the Dibra Maskel, Tosus Rid Motzosi. So he writes over there that Motzosi Shishay Lozu Nishalo Lemar Rav Shalom Zal. This question was raised by Mar Rav Shalom Zal. And he says, Beishiv, kol midos chachomim kachheim. This is the way Chazal write things down. Kol dover v'dover yitnu bo shiru l'mata. They'll write down a minimum, and then there'll be a maximum. And our Mishnah is a minimum amount. So ad af kan le'inyan mashrish ishto zu shir katan lamata. This is the minimum amount that the man must give. Kidei kiyum nishama. This is the physical amount that you need in order to survive. V'lo l'chol adam poskum kach. And this isn't the recommended amount that you give to everybody. Elo la'ani. Shekach shenino b'med v'amamorim b'ani b'Yisrael. But a woman who is on a higher level, so then she has to get much more. So the Tosfos Rid points out these are the most minimal amounts that we go and give. And certainly you can't give less than this, but you obviously can give more and should give more and must give more if you're on a higher social economic status. Okay. In any event, the Mishnah says this is the amount of wheat, either two kavim of wheat or four kavim of barley. Amar Rav Yossi, lo pasach, lo saorin, el Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel was the only one that said that we give her barley because he was near Edom. And the Gemara will explain that in Edom, the barley was very lousy. And that's why they had to give twice as much as for the wheat. In other places, the barley wasn't as poor quality as the wheat. They didn't have to give twice as much. So Rav Yossi is saying that this din of twice as much barley as wheat is only really stated by Rabbi Shmuel, who lived near Edom where they had lousy barley. Okay. Then it says, in addition, v'nos in law chatzi kav kitnis. You also have to give her a certain amount of beans, a chatzi kav of beans. This is considered normal food in those days. The Mefarshim point out that if you live in a different country or in a different place where the diet is different, then you give her the appropriate amount, equivalent to this, of the diet in their places. So it's not saying specifically you have to give beans. That's not a din in the Torah, you have to give beans. It's just that was a common food in Babel. So therefore, that's the food that they gave. But if you live in another place, so they would give a different amount of food. Okay. The chatzi lok shemen, you give a certain amount of oil. The kav grogros, you give a certain amount of dried figs. Or, alternatively, you give her a different type of fruit. Omono devela, or you can give her Iman, a certain measure of pressed figs. Again, you have to give her certain types of fruits, and that was customary in those places. And if they didn't have that, so then the main law, so then postek lu mason, you give against this peiros v'mokamacher, some other peiros. Again, it's not a din that you must give figs, it's a din that you have to give her some sort of fruits. Okay, now, the nosin law, you have to give her other things besides food. The nosin law mita, you have to also give her a bed to go and sleep on. And you have to go and give her a mapot. A mapot is a certain type of a soft mat. Rashi says, rach mi machatzelis. It's softer than the machatzelis, which is the next thing that you have to give her, a machatzelis. That's a harder type of a mat. So these are certain types of requirements that you have to give her in order to be able to sleep and lie down and eat, etc. Venosi lo kipa l'rosha. You give her a tzav, Rashi says, echad mishon l'shon. You give her one new head covering, a tichel, a kerchief of some sort for her head. Once a year, you have to buy her a new one. V'chagol l'masneh, you have to give her a belt that she'll wear. U'minolim mimor l'moy, and you have to buy her new shoes from yontif to yontif, and you have to give her v'kelim, you have to buy her clothing, shel chamishim zuz mishon l'shana, and you have to give her 50 zuz's worth of clothing from year to year, and you have to give it the appropriate clothing at the appropriate time. You're not allowed to go give her heavy clothing in the summer because it's cheaper then, and you give her lighter clothing in the winter because it's cheaper then. No, they know the law. Lo chadoshim yimosacham. You can't buy the new clothes which are hot and thicker in the summer months when she doesn't want to have such heavy clothing, and you can't give her lo shchokim. You can't give her worn out clothing which is lighter and will not keep her warm. Be mosakashamim in the rainy season, which is the winter. Ella, what must you do? No, say lo kelim. You give her clothing shel chamishim zuz that's worth 50 zuz, which is the good quality clothing, be most like a shaman during the winter, when it will be thicker and it will keep it warmer, and that will wear out. And then by the time the summer comes around, he miskasa bivlo sehen, and she'll clothe herself with the slightly used clothing, her own used clothing, in the summer months, miyosechama, when you want it to be slightly worn out, because it's going to be cooler for her to wear this in the summer months. And she gets to keep them, vashkokim shalom. And each year, when they're worn out, and then she gets new clothing, so she gets to keep the old clothing, and sell it, or wear, use it as shmatas, or whatever it is she's going to use it for. Furthermore, the Mishnah tells us that the husband has an obligation, no stain law, ma. He has to give her a more kesef litzarcha to take care of her needs. What needs are these? So Rashi says this is a weekly allotment or allowance. But no, say more kesef. Rashi says lechol Shabbos for lidvorim kitanim, for various little things that she may need. She needs some makeup, some perfume, etc. Whatever needs she has, this is to go and take care of her extra needs that aren't specific to sleeping or eating or clothing wise. But she has other needs, makeup and things like that. Vim ain no sin law ma kesef litzarcha, and if the husband refuses or doesn't have the ability to give her this, so then our gears of the Mishnah is ma'isa yodash law. Rashi points out that we learned a few days ago on Daf Nun Tes that it means moser ma'isa yodash, then the extra work that she does, she gets to keep for herself. So it's again a quid pro quo. If he gives her the more kesef, then he's entitled to the moser ma'isa yodash. If he doesn't, then she keeps the moser ma'isa yodash for herself. No, what are the Maisi Adel that we're talking about over here, that we can then know what the Moser Maisi Adel are? Umahi Osolo, what are her obligations, so to say, to work for him to bring in a certain amount of income? So the Mishnah tells us, Mishkal Chomesh Shloim Shesi Bihuda. We had this the other day as well, that she has to go and weave over here, spin over here, a certain amount of weight, Chomesh Shloim, a certain amount of weight of 5 Shloim, which is with the Shesi, which is the warp thread. There was the shesi and the erev types of threads. The shesi is thicker, Rashi says, in kosher letavoso kiflayim kishol erev, and you have to weave it twice as much, so it's twice as thick. So therefore, if you're giving her shesi threads, so then in Yehuda, that's the amount is 5 shloim, because that was their weight, that was their evaluations of measures, or shehen, which is shehen eser shloim. They had a different system in Galil, by Galil, so it was twice as much. So it's the same amount, Chamei Shloim in Yehuda is the same amount as Eser Shloim in the Galil. They had different units of measure, and that's the amount that you have to give, or that she has to give to work for him to weave. Or, O Mishkal, Eser Shloim Erev Yehuda, if you're giving the Erev, the wolf threads, so then you give twice as much because they're not as thick. So you have to give 10 Shloim's worth of that in Yehuda, which is the equivalent of Shein Eser Shloim in the Galil because of the different units of measure. Okay. Now, that's what she does if she's a normal, healthy, working lady. However, if she's nursing, so then she doesn't have the time or the ability to go and do as much work, so you deduct. Law, you deduct a certain amount. Before I should talk about how you make these deductions, we won't go into it right now, but you deduct a certain amount from the expectation that she will work for him because she's busy nursing, or it's going to, if she works too hard, she's going to have less milk that she'll be able to produce. So we deduct a certain amount of Maisiyadeh expectation that she's going to make because she's nursing. And in addition, you can't give her these basic minimal food requirements that we just did. That's for a regular woman. But for a nursing woman, she has a higher caloric intake. So you have to go and give her additional funding, additional food, so that she'll produce the milk well. And again, the Mishnah concludes, similar to what the Tosfos Ritit pointed out before, the Medvar Mamurim, all of these Shiurim that we just gave over here is Ba'ani Shabi Yisrael. That's the minimal standards for the poorest of people. Avol B'Mechubot, but if a person is at a higher socioeconomic level, so then Hakol Lefi Kvodo, then he has to provide her on his status. So she may be poor, but if he's wealthy, so then he has to give her like a wealthy woman would get, and not, well, he can't say to her, well, your family is normally sustained with this much because you're poor, so I'm going to keep on sustaining you on the level that you used to. No, she rises up with him, as we said previously, and Hakol Lefi Kvodo, if he's on a higher level, he has to give her more. If she's on a higher level, he has to, if he physically can, give her what she's used to. He can't say, listen, my family doesn't get this much, so I'm not going to give you as much. No, she always has the upper hand. So if her socioeconomic status is higher, so he has to support her on her level. And if his socioeconomic status is higher, he has to support her on his level. Okay, that's what the Mishnah concludes. Now, the Gemara says, who's the author of our Mishnah? Money, Masdisin, all these measures that we gave, let's say, for example, 2 cobs of wheat or 4 cobs of barley. So who is the author of our Mishnah? Money, Masdisin, that this is the proper amount of food for a week. So it's not lo Rav Yochanan ben Brocha, lo Rav Shimon. It doesn't seem to go like either of these two opinions. What are these two opinions? Ditnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Mishnah Erevin, which is talking about the Kama Shi'uro for an Erev Techumim. Remember, we learned in Erevin that a person, if he wishes to change his focal point for Shabbos and go beyond the city limits or go beyond his own personal 2,000 amas that he has, so he can go put his Mokum Shvisa, he can make his focal point for Shabbos at a point that's 2,000 amas away from where he is, and therefore change his focal point and have that new focal point to be the 2,000 amma area that he's allowed to travel in all directions from rather than where he currently is. And as long as he can reach that place from where he currently is at the start of Shabbos, so that's his new focal point. Fine. So you demonstrate that that's your focal point by either physically walking there and being there, that's not a chiddush, or you can put food over there. So the person living in this house, at every Shabbos he's in his house, but he wants his focal point to be 2,000 amas to the east. So he puts the amount of food that's necessary for an Erev Techumen, which is Kama Shiur, that's what we're going to discuss right now, and he puts that over there, and that becomes his new focal point to go 2,000 amas from that point in all directions. So how much do you have to put there? How much food do you have to put there to make an Erev Techumen? So the Mishnah in Erevin tells us, Mazon Shtei Sudos, it has to be enough food for 2 meals. Every single person. Once you reach a certain number, so then it's good for the entire city. So a box of matzahs, for example, can be for an entire city. You don't need, once you reach a certain amount of food, the Gemara in Erevin talks about this, so once you have a certain amount there, so it can go for multiple people. But if you just have a small number of people, so you need mazon shtei sudos l'kol echad v'echad in order to go and make the Erev Techumim, your new focal point, your new mokum shvisa over there. Now, how do you define 2 meals? Mazon shtei sudos. So the opinion of Rabbi Meir is that it's mezono l'chol. It's a weekday meal, the lola Shabbos, and not the Shabbos meal. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda omer l'Shabbos. No, you go by a Shabbos meal, and not the lola l'chol, and not a weekday meal. And both of them are giving a smaller shear. Each of them is l'kula. V'zeh v'zeh miskadlin l'hokel. Both of them are giving a meikel shita. How is that possible? So Rashi explains in Dibur Masel Miskadlin L'Hokel, Rav Meir Hayorogil Lechol Pas B'Shabbos Yosef B'Chol. Rav Meir would have lots of bread on Shabbos, more so than he would have on a weekday. Shoyim Mamshich Pas L'Chol Minim Haboyin L'Fonav, because he would have bread with every single one of the delicacies that came on the Shabbos table. So according to Rav Meir, the amount of bread that we're talking about is a larger amount on Shabbos, and therefore he says, don't use the amount of bread that you have on Shabbos, use the amount of breads that we have on a weekday meal, and that's the more meikel shita, that's the smaller shita. Whereas Yehuda holds the exact opposite, Rashi says. Yehuda, ochel pas b'chol, yosef b'Shabbos. Yehuda would fill up on bread in the weekdays because he didn't have all the other stuff that comes with it. Shoyo saveya b'mine madanim. On Shabbos, he would have all sorts of delicacies. He had the kishke, he had the cholent, he'd have the kugel, and therefore he had much less bread. So therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, take the amount of bread that you have on Shabbos, and that's the smaller amount. So in any event, those are the opinions of Rav Meir and Yehuda, how much is the 2 meals worth? And Rav Yochanan ben Brocha, Omer, he tells us the specifics. How much is this in fact? So he says, it's kikar, it's a loaf of bread, halakuach bepunjon, that you would purchase for a punjon. A punjon is 1/48 of a sela, and this amount is the amount that you would go and purchase of bread, that is the amount for the suuda, when bread is sold at a price of me'arba soin, 4 soin, which is 6 kav in a soa, which is 24 kav lesela. So you're paying 1/48 of a sela for the food when the food is purchased at a you have 24 kavin that you can purchase for a sela, which would mean that a kav is worth 1/24 of a sela, and therefore it would be that one pudyon can go and purchase a half of a kav. Again, these are the coinage and evaluations that we're dealing with. So at this price, that's how much food you have to go and have for the Erev Tuchumim. So that's Rav Yochanan Broker's opinion. Rav Shimon has a smaller amount. Rav Shimon says, Rav Shimon Omer, shtei ados lekikar, the amount of suda of bread that you need for this Erev is 2/3, shtei ados of a kikar, mishalosh, when it's evaluated as shalosh kikaris lekav, when you have 3 kikars for a kav's worth of wheat. I won't go through all the calculations. Rashi goes through the calculations, but this comes out to one loaf is equal to 8 beitzim. You have 24 beitzim in a kav, so this would be 1/3 of a kav, as we just said, mishalosh kikoros lekav, and 2/3 of that, the shtei yados lekikar, would be 5 1/3 eggs. So the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Broka is that it is a pudyon purchases a half of a kav. A half of a kav is 12 eggs, so that would be the amount for the 2 meals, and the opinion of Rabbi Shimon is a smaller amount, it's only 5 1/3 eggs. So that is the size of the bread. Now, we add on some additional points over here, once we're dealing with these measures, so he tells us that this is also the amount that's used for what we call a kdei achilas pras. So, chetzio, the beis hamenuga. When a person enters into a house that has tsaras, so he becomes tamei right away. But his clothing don't become tamei right away unless he stays there the amount of time that it takes to eat what's known as achilas pras, half of this amount that we just said. So half of this amount, so 6 eggs according to Rav Yochanan ben Broka, and half of 5 1/3 eggs according to Rabbi Shimon would be the kidei achilas pras, that if a person stayed inside a house that had tsaras in it, so not only would he become tummy right away, but if he stays in there long enough that you could have eaten this amount of bread, this chatzi pras, that is the amount of time that if he stays in this house that has tsaras, his clothing also becomes tummy. And then another shear would be half of that. The chatzi chetzia, half of this kidei achilas pras, so that's a half of the original loaves for the Erev Tuchumim, and half of that half is v'chatzi chetzio livsol es hagevia. That is the amount of food that would be necessary to go and make a person tameh if he were to go and eat that. So if you eat that amount of food, the chatzi chetzio, that makes a person tameh. If he eats food that is tamei, and he wouldn't be able to go and eat truma. And then half of that amount, the chatzi, chatzi, chatzia, another half, that's the amount, lekabel tumas ochlin. Tosus understands to mean that it actually is the size of the amount of food, of beitz is worth, that you need to have in order to be mekabel tuma. And Rashi sheet is, no, you can be mekabel tuma at any size, but if you want to transmit tuma, it has to be at least this size of the chatzi, chatzi, chatzia, lekabel tumas ochlin. Now, I just mentioned that this was the shear of a kebetza, this chatzi, chatzi, chetzia. So that's assuming that you go like the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Broka that says that the shear originally was 8 beitzim. Therefore, the pras is 4 beitzim. The chatzi, chatzi is going to be 2 beitzim. And the chatzi, chatzi, chetzia is going to be 1 beitza. How the Mefarshim learned this out, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's different opinions, but the bottom line is, throughout Shas, we have that this famous machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos as to what is the shear of Tumah. So Tosfos says that you need to have a shear of at least a beitza to even accept Tumah. Rashi says, no, even less than a shear of a kebeitza is the shear that accepts Tumah, but to transmit Tumah, that everybody agrees you need at least the shear of a kebeitza to transmit Tumah. Okay, so now we have all these shiurim and all these shitos, and now we get to our question. Mani, who therefore is the author of our Mishnah? If you're going to tell me, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who says that the amount of the 2 meals for the Erev Tuchumim is the half of a kav, which means that if we have the shear of 2 kavim of wheat for the entire week, so then a half of a kav is 2 meals, so if we're going to have 2 kavim, was the shear that our Mishnah said suffices for the food for a week, so then two kavim is only going to be 8 meals. Tamnei habyet. We need 14 meals, so we got a problem. There are 14 meals in a week. We don't count shalishuddis. Some suggest that the reason why it's not 15 is because if we count shalishuddis, so they just have the same amount of food, but they divide it up into 3 meals. Others suggest that you don't have to have a full meal for shalishuddis. You can get away with mizonos. We'll leave that aside right now. But we need to have 14 meals for the week. And according to the shear that Rav Yochanan Rav Broka said, that a half a kav is 2 meals, so then if you have 2 kavs, it's 4 times as much. You're only going to have 8 meals. And if you tell me it's Rabbi Shimon, V Rabbi Shimon, it also doesn't work, because according to Rabbi Shimon, if you go through the calculations and make the conversions, so then the 2 meals for the Erev Tehumim is 2/9 of a kav. So if you have 2/9 of a kav for 2 meals, and then you have a total of 2 kavs, so that would be then that you would have 18/9 of a kav, so that would be 9 times as much, so 9 times 2 is 18. Tamia Srei Havyon. So you'd have 18 meals, but you don't need 18 meals, you only need 14 meals, so you have too much. So for Rabbi Yochanan Broker, you have too little, you have only 8 meals. If it's Rabbi Shimon, you have too much, you have 18 meals. Someone says, Leolam, in fact, we can say Rabbi Yochanan Broker, that our mission is in accord with Yochanan Broker. Aye, it's only 8 meals. Uchadam Ruchista, you go like Ruchista, it says, Tsemi hen shlish lechen vani. Here you have to go and take off 1/3 of the total amount to give to the chen vani. So in that situation, you really have a third from the outside, which is a half from the inside. So it's a third of the total of 12, which is what we need to get to right now. And therefore, the 8, when you add on the additional third for the chenveni, which is a third of the total of 12, so it's half of the 8, so then you get up to 12 meals. So hachanami, I say tilde shtei elayu. So you have to add on a third, which is, again, really a half from the inside, and you get to the total of 12 meals. Where it says it's 12 meals, not 14 meals. Akati taisrin havyon. It's only 12 and not 14. So where it says, ocheles imo leili Shabbos. That's because she only needs 12 meals for the rest of the week. On Shabbos, she eats with her husband. So on Friday night, she eats with her husband. Mistama Shabbos morning as well, she eats with her husband. So therefore, that's what we only need 12 meals for. And our Mishnah, therefore, is the opinion of Yochanan Rav Broka. Where it says, that works out great. Hanich l'man d'yomar achila mamish. That we're dealing over here with achila. However, el l'man d'yomar achila tashmish, according to one that says the word achila means tashmish, my iko l'meimar. If you're telling me over here that it says Ocheles Imo Leile Shabbos means that you actually eat with the husband on Leile Shabbos, so then we can work out the extra 2 meals plus the 12, that's the 40 meals. But if you say that this was a euphemism, when it says Ocheles Imo Leile Shabbos means that that's the owner is once a week for a Talmud Chacham, or even certain types of Paulim, it's once a week, so then if that's what it means, it's just a euphemism, a nice way to say that she has relations with her husband, Ocheles Imo Leile Shabbos means Tashmish, so then Michael and Amar, so then how does this work out that you're going to have 40 meals? It doesn't mean 2 meals on Shabbos that you eat with him. That was a reference to Tashmish. And furthermore, beyond, to Leisar Habyon, it only is mentioning Friday night. And that is not going to be for Shabbos morning. That's 13 meals. It's still not 14. So where it tries again, it says, Elo Kidor Ruchista. Ruchista had made another statement. The first statement they brought down from Ruchista was Semien Shlishlach and Vani. So here, Ruchista says, there's another opinion, Semien Mechzelach and Vani. You do half for the chenvani, not a third like we just said a moment ago. And this way, just like Rav Chista said that elsewhere, Hochanami, he says it over here too, Asya palga ushtei alayu. So you have half of the total, so you're making it 16. You have 8 to start with, that we pointed out, and now you bring on a half of the total, which is, again, going to be another 8. So now when you're adding on 8 to 8, you get 16. Now, that's more than 14. We'll address that in a moment, but now we can get up to 16 and we're not at 13. Before we answer that, however, we have Kashi the Ruchista Ruchista. We have one statement that Ruchista says it's a half, and the other statement that it's a third. It says Lo Kasha. Hobi Yasu the Yobet Tzivi, Hobi Yasu the Lo Yobet Tzivi. It depends whether you include the wood in the total price. If you include the wood, so then he only gets a third. If you don't include the wood, so then he gets a half because he has to pay for the wood. Okay. Now the Gemara says, granted, the way we just said it now, that it's a half, so Ihachi Shisri Havin, that gets up to 16. And we don't need 16, we only need 14. So who's our Mishnah like then? It's still not good. He says, no, it's fine. Come on, Kirv Chitka. Now we're saying that our Mishnah goes like Rav Chitka. And not only does Rav Chitka say that you have Shalosh Sudos on Shabbos, Rav Chitka has a famous Shita that says you have 4 meals on Shabbos. Because it says Hayom, Hayom, Hayom 3 times, and he says those are all on the Shabbos day. And of course you have to have a meal Friday night, so Rav Chitka holds that there's 4 meals on Shabbos. Not just Shalosh Sudos, but there are 4 meals on Shabbos. So this goes in accord with Rav Chista, that you have 16 meals, 12 for the weekdays, and 4 on Shabbos, and that each is up to 16. Yomer Arba Sudas Chayiv Odin Lecho B'Shabbos. That's the famous Sudas Rav Chitka. And some people do indeed have a fourth Sudas on Shabbos. They call it Sudas Rav Chitka. Nur Gemara says, Afilu Tem Rabban. You lav davka have to say that our Mishnah only goes in accord with this opinion. It could even go like the Chachamim, dal chada li orche uprache. That no, you don't have to say our Mishnah must be like Rechista. It could be a regular opinion of the Chachamim. So you have shalosh shutz on Shabbos, so you only need 15 meals. How do you get 16? So he says one is for guests, so you can invite guests. That's why you need to have a little bit extra, and that's why there's 16 meals that we provide to the woman. She needs 15 for herself, but one she can invite a guest. Someone says, once you're already giving us that teretz, hashtag the osus lahachi, so then, afil tem Rabbi Shimon. Then we could even say it's Rabbi Shimon. Because remember, before we had Rabbi Shimon that said it would be a total of 18 meals. So the Rabbanon, dal tlos liorche parche, according to the Chachamim, if they were to hold like Rabbi Shimon, so you only need 15 meals, 3 on Shalosh Shudas and 12 the rest of the week. And why do you need 18? So you can give 3 meals to guests, liorche parche. And according to Rav Chitka, we need 16 meals, the 4 on Shabbos plus the 12 of the week, so then you'd have 2 for the Archei Prachei. The Rav Chitka, Dal Tati, the Archei Prachei. So in other words, our Mishnah could be in accord with any of these Shitas that we brought down. It could go in accord to Rav Chitka or the Chachamim in the Shita of whether you have 3 meals on Shabbos or 4 meals on Shabbos, and it could go according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that the total number of meals is 18, or it could go according to the opinion of Rav Yochanan ben Broch as well. So our Mishnah could really be in accord with anybody. Okay, we continue. Our Mishnah said, Amar Yossi, lo pasach sior v'chule. Yossi said that the Saorin in the Mishnah, the 4 calves of Saorin, was only for Rabbi Yishmael. More questions? He said, what? Only in Edom do they eat Saorin? On the surface, it seems to be saying that that's only for Edom. El be'edom u'di ochli Saorin v'chule yam lo ochli. Nobody else eats barley. So why isn't this viable for everybody else? Someone says, no, hachi kamen. This is what Yossi was saying. Lo pasach Saorin kiflayim b'chitin. Only in Edom was the Saorin worth so much less than the chitin that it was... You needed to get 4 calves in order to get the same amount of bread that you needed with 2 calves of wheat. Because, El Rishmo, Hashar Yosomach Liadum, Ibnesh, Sorim, Adumios, Rosem, because it was a low quality. And therefore, in that situation, where the barley was low quality, you needed to double it compared to the wheat. In other places, maybe it would only be 50% more. Okay, this is a good break point. With this, we conclude today's share.